I want to talk about tonight. What shall happen when Jesus returns? First, although I realize that this congregation possibly are mostly believers in the premillennial second coming of the Lord Jesus Christ, I want to biblically establish for just a few moments that Jesus Christ is going to return again. And 2 Peter 1:16, "For we have not followed cunningly devised fables, but we made known unto you the power and coming of the Lord Jesus Christ, but were eyewitnesses of His majesty." Peter is saying here that when James, John, and I were on the Mount of Transfiguration, we saw the majesty and the glory of the second coming of Christ. He was transfixed or transfigured, and His garments became glistering white, whiter than any fuller's soap could make them. And He was caught up on a cloud, and there appeared there Moses, a type of the resurrected saints, and there appeared under there Elijah, a type of the translated saints, and said, "We heard a voice from heaven," said the voice which came from heaven, "we heard when we were with Him in the Holy Mount," and said, "We actually saw the rapture like it's going to be when Jesus comes again." Said, "It's no fable with us." Said, "We were eyewitnesses of His majesty." Said, "We were eyewitnesses of His majesty when we were with Him on the mount." I look back into the Word of God, and the Bible tells me in Jude 14 that Enoch, the seventh from Adam, prophesied that, "Behold, He cometh with 10,000s of His saints." Just think, the seventh man from Adam, many hundreds of years before Christ was ever born, before His first coming, prophesied that the Lord is going to come again. Moses, in the book of Genesis, said, "Until Shiloh come, and the gathering together of the people to him should be." Amen. And then, in the book of Daniel, Daniel speaks of the coming of the Lord as a rock that is cut out of the mountain that would tear down the kingdoms of the world. Isaiah said, "He shall come like a whirlwind." Jeremiah said, "He shall roar out of Zion." Habakkuk said that He will surely come and He will not tarry. Haggai said, "The nations shall shake and the desire of all nations shall come." Zechariah said He will put His feet upon the Mount of Olives and said, "And the Lord my God shall come and His saints with Him." Hallelujah. There's so many more that I could tell you, but the prophets said that He was going to come. Not only did the prophets say that He was going to come, but the apostles said He was going to come. The apostle Peter, especially in 2 Peter 3:9, "The Lord is not slack concerning His promise, as some men count slackness, but He's long-suffering to usward, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance." Now, this scripture doesn't say that He's not slack concerning His promises. He said He's not slack concerning His promise. That was one promise. He was talking about the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ, because in that same chapter, in the 3rd chapter, the 4th verse, they said there'll come scoffers in the last days saying, "Where is the promise of His coming?" It is a promise to us. The Bible said in Hebrews 10:36-37, "We have need of patience that after we've done the will of God, we might receive the promise. Said, for yet a little while, he that shall come will come, and he will not tarry." Now, who made that promise? The Bible tells me in John 14:3, the words of the Lord Jesus Christ, "I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also." Look at all the parables that Jesus gave about His return, about His coming. Listen to Him say in Luke 19:13, "Occupy till I I come. Listen to him say, blessed is he that is found so doing when he comes. Listen to him say, as he watched, for you know not the day nor the hour that the Son of Man cometh. Listen to him as he said, be therefore also ready, for in such an hour as you think not the Son of Man cometh. All through the Scripture, he said he was coming again. He said he was coming in the clouds of heaven. He said he was coming with great power and great glory. These are the words of the Lord Jesus Christ. That's his promise. The Bible said, let God be true, but every man a liar. This is truth that he's speaking. Not only did Jesus Christ say it, but the angels, while Jesus Christ was being taken up, the angel appeared and said, ye men of Galilee, why stand ye gazing in the heavens? For this same Jesus that is taken up from you into heaven shall so come in like manner as you've seen him go into heaven. Now an angel said that. Can we depend on what the angels say? One angel by the name of Gabriel said to Mary, said, a child is going to be born. A miracle of miracles. You've never known a man, that's true. Biological impossibility. But there's going to be a child born to you. And said, I'm announcing his name. His name shall be called Jesus. That same angel or another said that when at the tomb, when Jesus Christ rose from the dead, said, he is not here, he is arisen. And that angel spoke, and the Bible said in Hebrews 2:2, if the words spoken by the angels were steadfast, and every transgression and disobedience received a just recompense or reward, then if those angels were true, when they said he is going to be born, and he was, when they said he had arisen, and he had, and the Bible said that the words of angels are true, then when the angel said, he shall so come in like manner as you've seen him go into heaven, he is going to come again. He left with a body and he's coming back with a body. He left in the east and he's coming back in the east. He left with the clouds and he's coming back with the clouds. Hallelujah! He left with great power and he's coming back with great power. Yes, Jesus Christ is coming again. Now, there was a time when this occupied the minds of Pentecostals almost entirely. But even this group here, many of you do not really believe that Jesus Christ is coming anytime soon. I want you to hear me now. And you say, how can you prove that, Brother Hughes? You're judging me. No, I'm not judging you. It's number one, because of our lifestyle. Brother Abbott, help me preach a little bit here. 1 John 3:3 said, he that hath this hope in him does what? Does what?
Purifieth himself.
Purifieth himself. You mean he's going to clean himself up?
Yes.
He's going to sanctify himself.
Amen.
As who is pure?
Even as he is pure.
Even as Jesus Christ is pure? You mean if you really believe that Jesus Christ is going to come again, you're going to be living a sanctified, set apart life in the midst of the world.
Amen. Amen.
And are you telling me that holiness in a man's life is an indication that he believes that Jesus Christ could come at any moment?
I believe it.
Hallelujah. That's what the Word of God said. It said, set your affection on things above, not on things of the earth. And he said, for you're dead and your life is hid with Christ in God. And then when Christ, who is our life, shall appear, then shall we also appear with him in glory. Hallelujah. If you really have this hope. Now the Bible tells us that denying ungodliness and worldly lusts, that we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world. He said live, but to live what? Live looking for what?
His appearing.
That's right. Look for the blessed hope and the glorious appearing of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. I read that scripture one day, Brother Abbott, and the 12th verse of that Titus 2 says, live. And it tells you how to live godly and soberly and righteously in the present world. And that 13th verse starts off looking, said, live looking. And I just started quoting it over to myself. Said, live looking, live looking, live looking, live looking, live looking, live looking, live looking. Live looking, and unto them that look for him shall he appear the second time without sin unto salvation. The second reason why I say that some of you are not looking for Him, because you have lost your vision of evangelism. You see, one reason churches were so alive and on fire and going after the lost in some of those earlier days was they believed that Jesus could come at any moment. And it will cause you to be evangelistic. When I get my heart stirred for the second coming of the Lord, I begin to pray for all my kinfolks. I begin to look into my own heart. Am I ready? I begin to look at others and say, oh God, would you help them? If you really believed in the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ, it would provoke you to evangelism. The third reason that I believe that people are not prepared for the coming of the Lord is their passiveness. They can sit in services and just look around, look at the light globes and talk and run in and out and ignore the Word and snub God's power and stifle conviction. They're not looking for the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ because they're passive toward God's service. A person who is looking for the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ is going to have a life filled with worship and power and glory and grace. Amen. Then another thing is the worldliness of our day. And oh, come on, preachers, that bear down on that. It's possibly not what you think I'm going to talk about. I'm not going to talk about movies and dancing and theaters and all that kind of stuff. God knows somebody needs to talk about it. But right now, I'm not going to talk about it. I'm going to talk about you being so bound and so tied down and so earthly minded and so wrapped up in things and so wrapped up in your job and so wrapped up in the things of this world until you've lost your vision of the world to come. You're so satisfied with what you've got and so satisfied with what you're doing. You're so satisfied to make another buck. You're so satisfied with the job that satisfies a longing that's in your heart because it's a soulless society of materialism. We become materialistic and we're bound to this present evil world. But I want to tell you, when you're really looking for Jesus to come, you're going to lift your head above the clouds. You're going to put your elbows on heaven windowsills. You're going to look full into His wonderful face, and the things of this world are going to grow strangely dim in the light of His glory and grace. You're going to have your heart set on heaven and your thoughts set on high, and you'll mind the things of the Spirit. Come on now. I want to tell you, that's the kind of worldliness that's eating the heart out of the church today. You might come and sit piously in the pew and say, well, I'm not of that crowd out there carousing and drinking and going to the immoral places. But my God, what crowd do you belong to? You're sitting and soaking and souring in the church, and you've lost your touch with God, your communion with God, and the power and the glory of God is not upon your life. What crowd do you belong to? If He should come tonight, would you be ready to meet Him? When His coming doesn't charm you anymore. When His coming doesn't occupy you anymore. When His coming doesn't stir you anymore. When His coming is old hat to you. I preached right here in Chattanooga a few years ago, and a man got really stirred up about the coming of the Lord. And he went home, and he was rolling and tossing on his bed. And his wife said, what's wrong with you? He was relatively new to the church, you see. He said, didn't you hear what Reverend Hughes said tonight? He said, behold, I come quickly. I preach from that text in Revelation. And she says, I've been hearing that for 35 years. Said, go on to sleep. Go on to sleep and see. And that's what's happened. You hear me? Oh, God spoke to me standing right here after the service night before last. And He said, many of them are case hardened. They've heard so many times until they're deaf of hearing and they're dull of hearing. And I said, oh God, I wanted to tell you that last night.
But I just couldn't bring myself to it. But I'm telling you tonight, many of you have heard the gospel and have heard the word until your ears are deaf to the gospel. It doesn't charm you anymore. You're not excited about it anymore. But when you cease to be excited about the fact that this night the Lord could come in the clouds of glory and say, come up hither and I'll show you the things that shall be hereafter, then my friend, you have lost your vision of the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ, and you've dropped to the level of a brute and you live on a fleshly level. Amen. What shall happen when Jesus comes? 1 Thessalonians 4:13. But I would not have you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are asleep, that you sorrow not, even as others which have no hope. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so them also which are asleep in Jesus will God bring with him. This we say unto you by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive and remain of the coming of the Lord shall not prevent them which are asleep. But the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, and the voice of the archangel, the trumpet of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. And we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And so shall we ever be with the Lord. Wherefore, comfort ye one another with these words. Let us look at that for just a few moments. He said, I don't want you to be sorrowful like other people. He said, you don't have any reason to be sorrowful, because there's hope for you beyond this world. I'm told that in the New Testament times, that the Christians, when they had a funeral, they had a time of rejoicing. Said it was like they were going to visit loved ones somewhere. Like they were going on a big journey somewhere. Because they knew that the earthly house of this tabernacle were dissolved. They had a house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens. Now, we don't have to sorrow like people that have no hope. And oh, this is a hopeless world. A nuclear holocaust hangs over us. And the people are disturbed and frightened. And fear is falling upon the world. Men's hearts are failing them for fear, for looking after the things that are coming upon the earth. But you don't have to be sorrowful if you believe that Jesus died. And if you do, raise your hand. And if you believe He rose again, because He lives, you shall live also. Hallelujah. He rose again. He said, I am the resurrection and the life. And he that believeth on me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. And he said, he that believeth on me shall never die. Hallelujah. Glory to God forever. But he said, if we believe that Jesus died and that he rose again from the dead, even so them also which sleep in Jesus will God bring with him. Now when he gets ready to come, he will bring with him those departed spirits that have been with him in heaven during this time. See, the soul didn't sleep. The Bible said the spirit returns to God which gave him, the body returns to the earth or the dust from which it came. That body down there in the dirt, but the spirits that are with him, they're going to come with him to the clouds. They're going to come with him to the air. And the Bible said, this we say unto you by the word of the Lord. Now, Paul was wanting to tell you that this is not a fable. See, Peter said it's not a cunning to devise fable. Now, Paul is saying, I'm not saying this by myself or by the word of some man. This we say unto you by the word of the Lord. It said, we which are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord shall not prevent them which are asleep. Now, the word prevent means precede or go before. Let me just put it in plain old Tennessee vernacular for you. If I am dead when he comes, you can't go till I get up. You can't precede me. You can't go until I come out of the grave. Oh, hallelujah. Isaiah put it like this, said, the dead men shall live, Isaiah 26:19. Together with my dead body shall they arise. Awake and sing, ye that dwell in the dust, for thy dew shall be as the dew of the herbs, until the earth shall cast forth her dead. Hosea put it like this, in Hosea 13:14, I'll ransom them from the power of the grave, and I'll redeem them from death. Hallelujah. Sister Hughes says that I'm one of the worst singers in the country, you know. She gave me a 1.5 piano lessons when we first got married. She was a piano teacher, and I said, oh, I'd like to play the piano. You know, I've seen these evangelistic fellas who could just play the piano and the organ, sing and preach and do all that. I wanted to be like that. At that 1.5 lessons, she walked away from me. She said, you're tone deaf. You split notes right in two. She said, you're impossible. And she hasn't helped me since. She's sitting right over there in case you think that you want to tell her on me. Well, she's sitting there. She's hearing this. But praise God, when I read this verse, it said, awake and sing, ye that dwell in us. One of these mornings, if I'm in the grave, if I'm not in the grave, I'm going to take my privilege anyhow. Awake and sing, ye that dwell in the dust. I'm going to sing the song of redemption. And when I get to heaven, I'm going to join in the choir of Moses and the Lamb, thank God, and sing the song of the redeemed. Hallelujah to God forevermore. Oh, He brought me out of the horrible pit and put my feet on the rock and established my goings and put a new song in my mouth. He brought me up, He stood me up, and He tuned me up, and He's going to take me up. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. It said, the Lord Himself shall descend from heaven. Now see, this is not another. The angel said, that same Jesus that you've seen go into heaven said, shall so come in like manner. That same Jesus that opened the eyes of the blind. That same Jesus that stopped the procession of the widow of Nain's son and just picked him out of the byre and gave him back to his mother. That same Jesus that said to Lazarus, Lazarus, come forth. Lazarus walked out of the grave and still had the winding sheet on him. He said, loose him and let him go. Hallelujah. That same Jesus that went into the bowels of the earth and took the blood message and conquered hell. Hallelujah. And said, I'm he that liveth and was dead. And behold, I'm alive forevermore and have the keys of hell and death. That same Jesus. The Jesus that's the same yesterday, today, and forever. That Jesus that'll remain the same when the earth waxes old and folds up like a vesture and is put off like a garment. That same Jesus is going to come back in the clouds of glory. Amen. Then there are going to be some sounds of His coming. Hallelujah. The first sound is the Lord Himself shall descend from heaven with a shout. Now, when I was younger and I read that, I thought He's going to come shaking His hands and His feet. That was my impression, but I looked at that word shout in the Greek and it means command. He's going to come with a command like a captain. He's going to stand in the heavens and He's going to command with His voice. And when He does, listen to me, it is going to reverberate from ark to ark in glory. It is going to penetrate the elements. It is going to pierce the graves. It is going to dip into the deepest part of the sea, to the bottomless ocean, where those that have been buried at sea are. That voice is going to pierce all of the realms of the universe. Amen? And the Bible said in John 5:28, marvel not at this, for the hour is coming when they that are in the grave shall hear His voice. And they that have done good shall come forth to the resurrection of life. And they that have done evil to the resurrection of damnation. You say, Brother Hughes, I don't quite understand. I don't understand just exactly how that they're going to hear His voice and others won't hear His voice. He said in John 10:13, my sheep know my voice and I'm known of mine. I know how it is. I tell you, I heard His voice. I heard His voice over 51 years ago when He spoke to me as just a lad of a boy. And I've been listening to His voice. I heard Him when He called me to preach about 16 years of age. I listened to Him and I said, yes, Lord, I'll respond. During this time, I've heard Him. One time when I was in a room, I heard an audible voice call me from heaven. He called me and I thought the preacher was calling me downstairs. And I responded. I went downstairs. I said, did you call me? He said, no. I said, Oh, God has spoken to me in my room. I heard Him call my name. But I know what His voice sounds like, neighbor. And on that morning of the resurrection, I'll know His voice. It won't be unfamiliar to me. He's going to come and stand in midair. Somebody said, now, come on. How does He stand in midair? Now, I like to say this because it boggles the minds of the scientists. You know, the Bible said that He hung the world or the earth on nothing. Said He stretched the north over an empty place. Said the clouds are His chariots. He rides on the wings of the wind. And He's got the wind in His fist. Hallelujah! It said the heavens are a curtain for Him. And He stretched them out and meted them out with the span of His hand. Great Lord have mercy. Oh, sambrekasakataboya. He said He maketh the seven stars and Orion and the sweet influences of Pleiades. Hallelujah! And then you say, what's He going to do standing there in the air? I want to tell you something else. I'm going to be standing there with Him. That'll be the greatest open air meeting ever held in all of the universe. Great Lord, I don't want to miss that camp meeting. I don't want to miss that open air meeting. Amen? Then there'll be the voice of the archangel. What do you think archangel's going to say? I think it possibly will be Michael. I don't try to find that in the commentary anywhere. Unless somebody's just conjecturing like I am. Because I believe Gabriel's going to be blowing that trumpet. Goody, goody, devil, you won't get to blow it. Amen? You know what I believe the angel's going to say? Hallelujah. 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 Hallelujah! 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 You know the reason I believe that? Because there won't be anybody anywhere who can't understand that. There won't be anybody anywhere who can't understand that. Oh, hallelujah. The next thing that's going to happen, there's going to be a trumpet blast. I believe there'll be at least two because the Bible speaks about the last trump. The last trump. So there's got to be a verse. He'll blow the first one and it'll get the people in order. And He'll blow the second trumpet. And that's the marching trumpet. They'll march to the skies. Hallelujah to God forevermore. And there's a song said that He'll blow it so loud to wake up the dead. I believe the dead will already be awake. I believe that they will awaken when He gives His voice. Amen. And you say, Brother Hughes, just what will keep everybody from going up? The Bible says that this is a resurrection from among the dead. This is not the resurrection of the dead. It's a resurrection from among the dead when God's people are going to come out of their graves. Hallelujah. And the first thing that's going to happen is the dead in Christ will rise first. The Bible said, and the rest of the dead lived not till the 1,000 years is finished. And this is the first resurrection. Hallelujah. Look at that resurrection. To me, this is a beautiful thing. The Bible said that we're sown with a natural body and raised with a spiritual body. Sown in weakness, raised in power. sown in dishonor, but raised in glory. Sown in mortality, but raised in immortality. Sown in corruption, but raised in incorruption. He said, behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall be changed in the moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump, for the trumpet shall sound, and we shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. And this mortal must put on immortality, and this corruption must put on incorruption. So then, when the mortal shall have put on immortality and the corruption incorruption, then it shall be brought to pass the same that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. Oh, death, where is thy sting? Oh, grave, where is thy victory? And thanks be unto God that giveth the victory through the Lord Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. I don't know about you, but I'm so excited and so elated and so expectant until it's doing something to me.
Be an interpreter. So excited and so elated and so expectant until it's doing something to me. Be an interpreter. Would you raise your hand? I want to tell you, neighbor, I believe His coming is upon us. He doesn't calculate time like we do. Because that, we say the Lord's delayed His coming. But the Lord is not slack concerning His promise. That's His Word. If you believe any part of the Word of God, you believe that. Amen? He's not slack concerning the promise of His coming. If you believe anything, if you don't believe that, none of the Word's true. You might as well just junk it, put it in the furnace, burn it up, penknife it, if that is not true. But that's what He said. He's not slack concerning His promise. A day with the Lord is 1,000 years and 1,000 years a day. He's not calculating time just like we are. But He expects us to live with our head in the clouds, our feet solidly on terra firma, and ready to go when He calls. He expects that out of us. The second thing that's going to happen when He comes is there's going to be a transformation. The Scripture said, we shall be changed. It'll happen in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye. We will undergo a process similar to death, but it'll be in a split second. We that are here will be changed. And then we will be caught up together with Him in the clouds. You see, I said you wouldn't go before me. Amen. You'll have to wait on me. But you'll be changed. Now here's the thing that strikes me so forcibly.
1 John 3 and 2, he said, Beloved, now we are the sons of God. It doth not yet appear what we shall be, but we know that when He shall appear, we shall be like Him. For we shall see Him as He is. David put it like this in Psalm 17 and verse 15. As for me, I shall behold thy face in righteousness, and I shall be satisfied when I awake with thy likeness. Not in his likeness there, but with his likeness. Said, when I wake up and I'm like him, you hear what I'm talking about? Does that have any effect upon you? In Philippians 3 and 20 and 21 it says, our citizenship or our conversation is in heaven from whence we look for the Savior. Said, who shall change our vile body that it should be like unto His glorious body. In other words, I'm going to have a body like Jesus. Job thought about it and he said, all the appointed days of my time will I wait for my change to come. I'm waiting on my change. Hallelujah. What you doing, Brother Hughes? I'm just waiting on my change. I'm just waiting on my change. I'm standing at his big counter waiting on my change. Hallelujah. That's what I'm doing. And Job, when it looked as though he would die, and he lost all of his homes, and he lost all of his camels and his donkeys and his sheep and all of his children, everything taken away from him. And his wife came. She said, why don't you just curse God and die? Just to say there's nothing to this divine healing anyhow. Said, why don't you just curse God and die? And he said, though ye slay me, yet will I trust him. And he had boils and the corruption so bad until his collar had stuck to his neck. But he said, when I'm tried, said, I'll come forth as gold, fried in fire. And he had Eliphaz the Temanite and Zophar the Naamathite and Bildad the Shuhite and had all of those boys standing around there looking at him saying, you've sinned, that's what's wrong with you. You've sinned, that's what's wrong with you, or this wouldn't be happening to you. And all of a sudden he said, oh, that my thoughts were written in a book. And then he thought, no, said, I don't want them written in a book. Somebody could burn it up or destroy it. Somebody could get rid of it. He said, oh, that I had a pen of iron that I could write with lead in a rock. He said, for I know my Redeemer liveth, and the latter day that he shall stand upon this earth. And though the skin worms destroy my body, yet in my flesh shall I see God. Oh, and he said, whom I shall behold for myself, whom mine eyes shall behold for myself, and not another. Hallelujah. Though my reins be consumed within me. I know, listen, my good friend, one of these days, he's going to come and there's going to be a transformation on this whole earth. And we're going to be caught up to meet him in the air. There'll be a translation take place. But what is going to happen here on earth when that takes place? Have you ever stopped to think about it? You get in your car. Well, let's start at your home. You get up. And that good mother that told you that one of these mornings there's going to be a rapture, one of these evening tides there's going to be a rapture, and you just sort of sloughed it off, she's going to be gone. She won't be there to cook the eggs and fry the ham. She's going to be gone. My mother, when I was sort of naughty as I was growing up, she used to sit me down. She said, son, one of these mornings, if you don't change, you're going to get up for school and said, Mama's going to be gone. And you know, I'd sort of snigger under my breath. I thought she's just an old fogey. But then when I got older and read the Bible, I found that's going to be true. On your way to work that morning, you're going to find some buses over in the field. You're going to find some cars in the ditches. You're going to find things in disarray. And when you get to work, the old assembly line will just be going about half. Some of the people that worked on the assembly line with you are not going to be there. And that afternoon, when the factory closes down to regroup and to reorganize, you're going to be calling some of your friends, and you'll call and somebody say, well, they're not here right now. Said, I don't know where they are. Said, something happened during the night. They must have gone out. And said, they haven't come back in. Said, something's taken place. And then I hear a flash come over the telecast and said, there's a strange phenomenon that happened. We don't know what's happened, but there are thousands of people missing in the world. There are thousands of people who have left the world. And said, somebody said it was that holiness, tongues talking group of people that believed that there was a rapture that we left at. Said, they left during the night. They're gone. And the world is in consternation. Oh, my Lord, have mercy. My Lord, have mercy. Things are going to be going on. But remember, this is not the end of the world. The wicked dead haven't come forth yet, and they will not come forth until the end of the millennium. So the wicked dead are still in their graves. And the Antichrist comes on the scene, said, only he who now letteth will let until he be taken out of the way, and then shall that wicked be revealed, whom the Lord shall consume with the spirit of his mouth and destroy with the brightness of his coming, even him whose coming is after Satan with all power and signs and lying wonders. He will come and pose to be the great imperial head. He will come and pose to be the great leader. I heard Walter Cronkite before he retired say, the world is looking for a leader. And when they find him, they will follow him. I thought, Walter, you might not know what the Scripture has to say, but that's precisely what it is. He's going to not only be an imperial head of the revived Roman Empire, he's also going to be the spiritual leader for that time. He will set himself up as God in the temple, and he will be worshipped as God in the temple. He will claim to be the spiritual leader. He will claim to bring peace. And I want to tell you, right now, on our scene, anybody that could promise us peace and produce halfway, I believe that just about everybody in America would fall for him. I know they would on the foreign soils as well. And that scene is just about set for us, neighbor, that when the Antichrist would arise, he'll come forth riding that white horse, which means peace. He'll promise peace for 3.5 years. He'll fool the Jews and deceive them. They'll make a covenant with him. They'll feel that he is their Messiah that has come. But in the middle of that week, 3.5 years, the Bible said in Matthew 24:21, then shall be great tribulation, such as was not from the beginning of the world to this time, no, nor ever shall be. Now you hear what I'm saying, please. There is going to be judgment upon this world like has never been known. Jeremiah said it's going to be so terrible that men's faces will gather paleness. Said they'll go about with their hands on their loins like a woman in travail. And said, alas, for it is the day of the Lord, day of Jacob's trouble, and there is none like it. There's never been anything like it. Well, I know that people say, oh, I'm brave, I can take it. But I know a lot of people that have gone through some hurricanes and through some storms that weren't as brave as they thought they were when it looked as though they were going to be destroyed. But I want to tell you, when God's judgment is poured out upon this earth, you'll have all of your memories. You'll have all of your reflections. Some of you that are sitting here will have a reflection of this. Can't be. You hear me? And you look back to that night that that preacher warned you, and you say, my God, I wish I'd have bowed at the altar that night. But here I am. Here I am facing starvation. Here I am facing war. Here I am facing torment. Here I am facing woes and plagues and consternation. And I don't know which way to turn. Then there is going to come another rider on a horse, a red horse. And he is one who makes war. And wars break out. Do you think wars are prominent now? It will be one massive war upon the earth. Wars and people killed. Then there comes another rider upon a black horse. This is the same Antichrist riding these different horses. And there's a famine in the land. And the famine is so great until the necessities of life will be sold at high prices. And a man cannot buy or sell unless he has a mark in his hand or in his forehead. Have you heard anything about that lately? Have you heard anything about some things happening like that? Have you heard about laser marks lately? You say, oh, that's just a happenstance. I want to tell you, neighbor, getting ready for that day. Getting ready for that day. I believe it with all of my heart. You can throw it off and you can slough it off here tonight if you want to. But I believe we're getting ready for that day. And then he'll come forth riding upon a pale horse. And the pale horse is death, and hell followed death. And power is given unto him to destroy 25% of the earth with death and with famine, with war, and with the wild beasts. That's the Antichrist and his rule upon this earth. During the time of that 3.5 years, neighbor, there is going to be plagues. There are going to be plagues and woes that will be poured out upon the earth. The sun will become so hot until it will scorch men, and they will not repent, but they will curse God. The blood, waters will turn into blood. The moon will be smitten and turn into blood. The sun will become as black as sackcloth of hair. The stars will fall from heaven like an untimely fig tree will cast forth her figs when shaken by a mighty wind. Every island and every mountain will move out of its place. And the Bible said the kings of the earth and the great men and the rich men and the chief captains and the mighty men and the bondmen and the free men shall hide themselves in the dens and in the rocks of the mountains, and they shall call unto the mountains and the rocks, fall on us and hide us from the face of him that sitteth on the throne and the wrath of the Lamb, for the great day of his wrath is come, and who shall be able to stand?
This is my word. I have spoken it. This is not the word of a preacher. This is my word. I anointed the man of God to speak the word many, many years ago. He was anointed and he spoke as he was moved upon by me, the Holy Ghost. And tonight my servant speaks this word again. This is not his. This belongs to me. Hear my word or face my judgment. You put far away the evil day, and you cause the seed of violence to come near. You are wrapped up in your sins, and you're insensitive to my call. I have called you even in this meeting, but you have stifled my call, and you have slept it off. I call you once again to my word. Hear my word and live. Refuse my word and die. Were you at? Oh, my Father, my Father, my Father. The Lord is trying to speak to us in the meeting tonight. I want to tell you, last night, some of you who were supposed to come did come. It's been a long time since I left a service as heavy as I left it last night. I didn't rest well last night. But I want to tell you, judgment hangs upon this service tonight. I've never heard, I'm 45 years in the ministry, and I've never heard the Holy Ghost say what he said tonight.
and it's torn me to pieces. He said, this is not the word of my servant. This is my word. I spoke it many years ago. And now he is repeating it. He is preaching it to you. I'm just leaving it with you. I can't make you take it. But I'm going to ask you what Isaiah asked. What will you do in the day of visitation? To whom will you flee for help? And where will you leave your glory? When you cast your money to the moles and to the bats, as Isaiah said, and when you cast your silver into the streets, and the gold and silver shall not be able to satisfy your soul in the day of the Lord of hosts, what will you do? What will you do? I'm waiting. I want everybody in this house, number one, who does not have the baptism of the Holy Ghost, to get up right now. Hurry, everybody in the house. Stand up all over the house. You don't have the baptism of the Holy Ghost. Stand up all over the house. Keep standing. Everywhere in this house. All right. You come first. You come first. Come on down. Just play it very softly. We don't need any singing yet. Just very softly. Some are coming to be saved in the group. I don't want anybody moving unless you're moving here. I'm telling you, judgment is upon this congregation tonight. Waiting on you. That's right. Oh, please, the prayer, saints. That's right. Keep coming. That's right. Keep coming. There's some of you out in the shadows. Out in the shadows tonight that God's spoken to you. You can't hide from the Holy Ghost conviction. You can't hide from the Holy Ghost conviction. You need to run in from the outside and run down this aisle and say, I'm coming home to Jesus. My God, I don't want the rapture to take place. I don't want the rapture to take place and be left and lost out of the ark of safety. I'm waiting just a few moments for you. Just a moment, sister. Just a moment. Let's let God speak to these hearts. Oh, God. Oh, God. Breathe the word of prayer. Oh, His power is here. His conviction is here. If I weren't a Christian, I'd cry out, God be merciful to me, a sinner. I'd run from all over this tabernacle. Somehow I felt when I was praying today that you're going to be coming from everywhere. He's here. He's ready. Don't resist Him. Don't turn Him aside. Don't resist Him. Him aside. He wants to help you. God bless you, sir. You see, they're still coming. God bless you, lady. As you walk down the aisle, God bless you. God bless you. You see, I don't want to get in a hurry. Oh, because God's here.